Turn to Matthew chapter 6 and in the little book it'll be page 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. We want to talk about this morning, your will be done. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, everybody's familiar with what we call the Lord's Prayer, right? And we pray that prayer a lot of times in groups, and it's almost like a ritual sometimes. It's almost just habit. But, you know, you're in the right group. If somebody don't pray, they'll just pray the Lord's Prayer. And that's okay. That's fine. It is a prayer, but more than that, it's an outline on how to pray. It's much more than these few verses here. So we got a teaching on that. You can get that if you want it. But we're not going there today. What I want to focus on today is verse 10. Jesus was praying. In fact, just prior to this, the disciples was asking him to teach us how to pray. Remember that? If you read it just prior to this in chapter 6, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. One version says, teach us how to pray. And it starts out, of course, he said, verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. And another version says, pray like this. In other words, you don't have to repeat these words, I think is what he was trying to say, because, you know, we don't need a ritual. Prayer don't need to be a ritual. Amen? That's communication between us and the Father. And it's whatever you're feeling. One thing I've learned about my boss, you can hide from your boss, but I can't. In other words, there's no use being religious to God because he knows what's in our heart. Amen? And if I'm angry with him, I tell him. I'm angry at God because I don't understand da-da-da-da-da, what's going on. I'm upset. That don't mean I quit being a Christian. That has nothing to do with that. But Lord, I'm frustrated today. But I have to say, as Jesus said in this verse, in verse 10, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we're going to take that, out of context a little bit and talk about that. But Jesus himself, praying to the Father, said, your kingdom come. You notice it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is always done in heaven. God's will is not done on earth because of us. Because he gives us choices. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I don't make the right choice all the time. I'm sure I'm the only one in here like that. I'm sure the rest of you, when God speaks to your heart, you just jump up and go do it. We probably don't do it. But you know, we need to be able to pray. Every morning, I try to say this, and again, I don't want to be a ritual, but I've got a little routine I go through in my daily prayer life. And I say routine, I mean I call the names of my family members and others that have requested prayer, you know, and so on. But I go through that, and I pray. First of all, I say, Lord, I want your kingdom come, your will be done in my life today. I want your will to be done in my life. I don't know what today holds. I don't know what I'm going to get into. I mean, I know what I got planned, but I don't know what today holds. So I want your will done. And you know, even though things are going to happen probably that I don't understand, that may be a little frustrating to me, I know your will is for my good. So when we say, you know, think about it before you say, I want your will done in my life, because then you have submitted to him, right? We commonly use the phrase, as a Christian, we'll use the phrase, how many have heard the phrase, make him your Lord and Savior? We say that all the time, don't we? Well, that's backwards, technically. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to change nothing, but think about it. He's our Savior immediately, right? How many agrees that the minute you confess, say, Lord, forgive me my sins, that second he does that? We don't understand that either, but we know he does that. Amen? I believe if that person fell dead, that the next second, they go straight to heaven. And that's why I say people killed in wrecks or whatever, we can't stand over them and say they didn't go. Based on their life, we can't say that. I can't say he did go, maybe, but I won't say he didn't go. You know what I'm saying? Because that last few seconds, whatever. But when we say, your will be done in my life today, again, we are submitting to Him and say, you're the boss. Now, that's what I wanted to say about Lord is the word Lord means boss. When you say He's my Lord, you're saying He's my boss. In other words, I follow what He says unquestionably. Now, get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to do that 100%. Nobody can. Not a human, I don't think. You'd be perfect if you could do that. But as a rule, what we're saying is, I submit to Him. Whatever He says, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. So, turn on over to Matthew 26, and on page 30 in that little Bible, Matthew 26, Jesus knew what it meant to be submitted to the Father's will. In fact, one other title for this might be being willing to play hurt. I recently heard a message by a pastor friend of mine in Shreveport, Louisiana, and he was a professional football player at one time, and he'd done a lot of years of coaching, also been in athletics forever, and he had a message entitled Playing Hurt. He said, there was never a game that I played football that I didn't hurt. But he said, if you don't get out there and play, you won't get a check. That was incentive. They may be taped up, strapped together, and you know, you've seen them on there taping up an ankle or whatever, and he goes right back out there, right? So when we submit to the Lord's will, we got to be willing to play hurt. Now, what does that mean? It means that somebody's going to hurt your feelings before it's over. I mean, we can sit around, we talk about how fast them trucks are run. If you got a Peterbilt, somebody will say you ought to have a Freightliner. If you got a Mack, somebody will say you ought to have a Kenworth. In other words, you're going to have districts of agreement. If you're a Baptist, somebody will say you ought to be a Methodist. If you're a Pentecostal, you ought to be a Catholic. So you're going to get hurt any which way you go. I figured out not too long after I got saved, well, sometime after I got saved in 1971, that it doesn't matter what I believe, somebody's going to disagree with it. And that's okay. Been married to the same wonderful woman for 41 years. And if I told you we agree all the time, you'd laugh if you've been married very long. But you see, if we were identical, one of us is not necessary when you think about it. God gives us a free will to choose, but we need to be like Jesus was and say, Father, your will be done in my life. I've submitted to your will. Now, I know what that means. I had my own truck and trailer, and unfortunately, the reason I say unfortunately is because I couldn't tell God I can't take that load because I could go anywhere I wanted to, right? I was permitted and all that stuff. After I left my regular run, I ran cross country, ran everywhere. And of course, I was offered a load to Chicago. Some of you on tape have heard this story before, but I was offered a load to Chicago, and I laughed. We was in New Orleans, and she offered me a load to Chicago, 2-stop load, no less. You must be kidding me. One drop Sunday morning, one drop Monday morning. You can't even get them both off to say, are you crazy? And, of course, she laughed with me. The broker laughed with me because she knew me. She said, all I got is Chicago, and kind of laughed, and I laughed with her, and I said, that's a good joke. Thank you very much. Hung up. And as soon as I hung up, the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me. Said, why can't you take that load? Because I live in Atlanta, in case you've forgotten. That is not towards Atlanta. So anyway, long story short, I lost that argument too and went to Chicago and was blessed by it. I was able to minister to somebody. Spent the weekend at Calumet City Truck Stop. Some of you have been there before. That's not the vacation spot of the world. But if we go in the right attitude, submitted to God, He'll use us, okay? And don't get me wrong. Like I said, I griped all the way to Chicago probably. I don't remember, but I'm sure that I didn't go up there. Hallelujah, I'm getting to go to Chicago. What a wonderful deal, you know. I was saying, why have I got, you know. But as soon as I got there, I realized why I went. And I won't bore you with the whole story, but I was able to pray with several people over the weekend. Once, if I got to go, then Lord use me, basically. In Matthew 26, I won't read all of this, but when you get time, I got these scriptures written down. If you want to take it with you, I'll give you a copy of it. Matthew 26, 36 through 46 is the whole story. But what I want to focus on this morning is verse 39. Verse 39. And what the deal here is, Jesus is about to be arrested. What the scene we have here, he knows he's about to be arrested. And just prior to this, in discussing this with the disciples, Peter is like me, or I'm like Peter, kind of impulsive. Anybody's ever studied much about Peter? I mean, he speak and think later. And unfortunately, I tend to do that. And I said unfortunately. And of course, prior to this, Jesus was saying, they're going to come arrest me. This is paraphrasing, but they're going to come arrest me. They're going to hang me on a cross. I'm going to die, blah, 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 blah. Peter jumped up and said, there ain't no way. What he really said is, I will die first, right? Before I let that happen, I will die, Peter said, right? In fact, if you want to look at verse 35, is Peter's statement. It said, Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Notice that. Every one of them said, we're going to be with you through thick and thin, right? How many of us got friends like that? Verse 56, if you want to jump that far, was after the fact, after he was arrested, and the last little line in verse 56 says, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. This is the same group that just said, we're with you. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that is, jump back to verse 39 with me. Jesus has left them. He went off to pray by himself. He asked them to pray. Remember the story? Pray here. I'm going over there and pray. And of course, yes, sir, buddy, we're with you. Well, you know the story. They sat there and went to sleep. Truth of the matter, right? But in verse 39, it says, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew what was about to happen. Jesus, being God the Son, knew exactly what was coming. And he said, if there's any other way, let this pass from me. But what did he say? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. One version says, not my will, but your will be done. That's submission. I mean, we say that hoping that our day is going to go okay. He said that knowing he was about to die. You say, well, he was God. That's different. He was God. All right. Well, let's look at some in verse, turn to Acts chapter 16, page 136. Let's go on fast forward in time a little bit. Acts 16, verse 23, and look at some plain old ordinary people, the disciples. In this case, we're talking about Paul and Silas. Another place in Acts, it happened to Peter and John and the others. But in this case, Acts 16, 25, let's back up some. Let's start at verse 23. The setting here is they've been preaching the gospel. God's called every born-again Christian into the ministry of some kind. Not everybody preaches, not everybody sings, not everybody teaches. Some people's ministry is handing tracts out. Just all kinds of ministry to do, right? But I believe every Christian has a ministry to do. I really do. And it doesn't matter what your ministry is, again, you're going to run into conflict before it's over. Somebody's not going to like it. Well, in this case, it was so bad that they were actually beaten. Look in verse 23, Acts 16. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. He's going to make sure they don't go nowhere, right? Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas was grumbling and complaining to God. Is that what he says? No. What does it say? They were singing praises to God. You talk about somebody submitted to God's will. They'd just been, got the tar beat out of them, as we'd say in South Georgia. Got through in jail, stocks on their feet. In other words, they were anchored down, couldn't get up, couldn't go nowhere. And at midnight, they were found praying and singing hymns to God. I wish I could be that submitted. I don't know. I haven't been thrown in jail. I've been threatened, but I don't worry about that. You know, my life's been threatened several times, but, and I'm not boasting in that. I'm just saying they didn't know what they were talking about. And I showed him, I offered to show him in the Bible. He wouldn't come to where I was at. Leroy Brown, you know, gonna whoop everybody. I wanted to show him in the Bible. And I said, fella, I don't fight. Let me just show you in the Bible in Psalm 91 where you can't do that. And I believe this more than I believe you. Because this can't fail. Amen? Is that right? In other words, it can't be wrong. And these guys, and we should, bet our very life on that. And we may get to see the day before this world's over, before this time is over, we may get to see the chance for us to be like they were. I don't know where it's going to go before Jesus says that's enough. Or the Father said, technically, the Father says that's enough. I don't know. I don't know where we'll go with persecution. But we think that we got it so tough because we get persecuted. Well, see, I believe, as Big Uncle used to say, a good friend of ours in heaven now, Big Uncle used to say, CB means Christian Broadcasting. Yeah. He had a Connex 33 with 650 watts kicking it. If he wanted to speak, you would listen. That's right. And the last thing you want to do is say, I'm going to whip you. Because his background is working for the family in East St. Louis. Now, he was saved from that, but when he walked up, he was very intimidating just walking up. You know what I'm saying? Because he'd tell you, he said, I'm just fat and clumsy now. I might fall on you and hurt you all. You know, you don't want me to fall on you. But he was a bold witness for God, and you don't have to be big. You just have to be big in the Word. God is looking for people who will say, your kingdom come, your will be done. And listen, remember this. If you don't stay in the game, you can't win. If you don't stay in the game for the endurance. In fact, in Revelation 2 and 3, we got time to read it all, but there's seven letters to seven churches. Almost every one of them end with the same little saying, he who overcomes. Just about every one of them ends with that. He who starts out big. Not he's got the biggest mouth, which I'd win, hands down, but he who overcomes. In other words, he who submits to the will of the Father and says, I'm here for the long haul. We're going to make it. I can't tell you how many times I called my wife over the 20 years of trucking and said, when I get this thing back to Georgia, I quit. I have had it. Ain't nothing but liars out here. You know, blah, blah, blah. And she, of course, being my wonderful wife, she'd say, yeah. she would pray with me on the phone, and things would get better. And of course, you know, once I got back down where it's above 30 below, I start feeling a little better, you know. I get back down here where it's warm, and then it wasn't so bad. Get back down in South Florida and load some more produce or something. It ain't bad at all. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt now. Everything looks rosy. Well, we'll try it some more. But if we're really submitted to God's will as these guys were, it don't matter what happens, come what may. I can say this, I don't know how long you guys have been married, but in 41 years, we've had some calamities in our life. We've had the highs and the lows and everything in between. And it took commitment on both our parts to make it work. It's not a one-way street. It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. Total commitment. I don't care what. Now, don't get me wrong. There were moments. There'd been moments, and my wife will tell you the same thing, that if divorce had been an option, we'd have took it. But you see, our commitment was not so much to each other, but to Him. Okay? Not superhuman, not super Christian. I just didn't have an option. And she didn't either. We sat down on our sofa one time many, many, many years ago with the truck sitting right outside and deciding who was going to get what. We started talking about divorce. And then we realized, both of us realized, not at the same moment, but we can't do that. We're both born again. We don't have that option. Oh, yes, God would have forgiven us. Sure. We'd have still died and gone to heaven someday. Has nothing to do with that. But we didn't have that option of quitting. And as Christians, as born-again Christians, we don't have that option of quitting. It don't matter how bad it gets. Okay? Romans 8:28, you're familiar with. What does it say? All things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. Right? That means every born-again Christian is guaranteed that everything that happens is going to work out all right. Now again, we've been in those positions and places in life where and to be perfectly honest, I'd be saying, God, this can't be good. How can this possibly be good? But even though I don't understand it, and again, I'm not talking about a super Christian now. I'm talking about somebody holding on for dear life. God, I don't understand this. But I know what Your Word says, and I don't care what I feel or what I hear or what I see, Your Word can't be wrong. Amen? There are drivers out there that have prayed for my son, Joey, for many, many, many years. Last month, Joey became a Christian, my son, at 38 years old. And it wasn't Daddy leading him. He was by himself. That's the way it ought to be. Well, I say by himself. God was there, of course, where He's always been. You know, God never left him. He never left me. He never left you, right? We left Him. And am I excited? That's not the right word. You know, and I share that because I want people on tape to hear it, because I've had drivers, hundreds and hundreds of drivers, literally, every now and then they'll call me, say, how's Joey? And I would say, keep praying. Keep praying. Isaiah, 54, I think it is, says, all your sons shall be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. And the reason I can quote that, I don't know exactly where it's at, but I can quote it upside down and backwards because I have quoted it to myself thousands of times and said, Lord, Your will be done. My will is to get saved right now. And I said that 20 years ago. In fact, when it all started, I thought, well, he'll run out there and find out it ain't good, and, you know, he'll come running back to God. He did 20 years later. He's right. I didn't understand that, but I know Romans 8:28 is still real, and he said, all things work together for good. Dr. Stanley is one of my heroes in the faith, I guess you'd say, one of my mentors. I used to have his message. I don't know where it's at anymore. He preached a message on Romans 8:28, and he said, the word we miss is together. All things, God causes all things to work together. God don't cause all things, but he causes all things to work together. You follow me? I might have caused the situation to happen, but he can cause that to be good. Amen? I mean, you know, we like to blame God for everything wrong that happens when he ain't been in 20 miles of it. I started telling people my testimony after I got saved, December the 19th, 1971, never forget it, as long as I live. December the 7th, 1971, the road went that way, and I went that way. That's not a good combination. All of a sudden, I realized I'm in midair, truck, trailer, and all, turning over, because I hadn't even backed out of it at that point. And I, as the old boy said, I said to myself, self, we're in a world of hurt. There ain't no wheels on the side of this. No. I mean, it all happens so quick, you don't say nothing. Just hold on. I did find out that a Transtar makes a lousy bulldozer. It just don't work out good. But out of that, I became a born-again Christian 2 weeks later. But I tell you what, he became my Savior. Not in the wreck or anything, but because of the wreck. And I would go around and tell my testimony, and I use quotation marks, because we need to share our personal testimony. There's nothing greater than that, telling somebody how you got saved. That's better than all the Bible teaching in the world, really. Because you can say, and I can say, I don't know about all that, but I can tell you what happened to me. Okay? I may not know what that word means in the Greek and all that stuff, but I know what happened to me. Right? And I would go around and share how God turned my truck over to get my attention. And there was something inside me kept saying, uh-uh. So one day I finally got quiet before the Lord. Sometimes I do that. I know you can't believe that, but I sometimes. And I said, okay, Lord, what's going on? What's wrong with my testimony? He said, you were driving, not me. I'm a better driver than that. I wouldn't have turned the thing over. Oh yeah. But he took what I did bad, right, and turned it into good. Turned it into good. I mean, back then I had an ego trip that you wouldn't believe. If you didn't think I was the best driver that ever was, ask me. And I would take an hour and a half of your time and explain to you now, I'm the best that's ever been. I'm sorry, but I was. I remember the old days when the fuel pumps was in front of the older truck stop. I've actually fueled when I didn't need it, hoping somebody see me get out of the truck. I'm sorry, but I had a problem, you know. And the reason I share that is the torment of that was, and I was trying to reason, how, if you're so good, how come you turn that truck over? Okay? Any idiot could do that. But then I realized how far off course I had gotten my life in pursuit of fame and fortune, as they say. And that, and December the 19th, 1971, I said, God, I made a real mess out of it. But if there's anything left that you can use, I'm yours. And I didn't know all the scripture then that we're going over today. But in what I was saying was, your will be done. My will has messed up everything, right? And my will still does. Amen? If my will don't line up with his will, my will is wrong, right? In Philippians 3, let's look over there right quick. Philippians chapter 3, page 196. Another one of the books that Paul wrote, of course, as you probably know, Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament himself. And buddy, he was not a goody two shoes himself. He come from a pretty rugged background. I'm sorry? Yeah, exactly. Before he became, God changed him so much, he changed his name, you know. Right? From Saul to Paul. But in Philippians chapter 3, I won't read it all, but 4 through 11, I call it Paul giving his resume, saying who all he was. But the verse 7 through 11, let's read that. This is his true feeling. Now, here's a guy that's been around, accomplished a lot in his life. He said, but what things were gained, this is verse 7, chapter 3, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, just knowing Jesus, he's saying, is worth more than anything on earth. Just knowing him. Nothing else matters. For it says, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. In other words, I made a very small investment and got a great big return. Amen. Paul is one of my heroes because he just says it like it is. And he says, in effect, he said, your will be done. I'm yours. You know the story on his road to Damascus, and God, the light was so bright. Now, you ever thought about that? It was in the middle of the day, and a light superseded the sun enough to blind him. I mean, first of all, it had to be a gigantic light to even see it in the daytime. You ever think of that? I watch CSI a lot. They go out in the daytime with a little bitty flashlight, and I'm thinking, what can you see with that? I mean, you're in Miami, Florida with a flashlight in the middle of the day. I like to watch it anyway. But this light blinded him. It was so bright. God does anything to get our attention. Amen? And he will turn bad into good. All right, let's go on. Philippians 4:4 tells us when all the trials and troubles and obstacles come along, that's going to happen. I'm not one of them preachers that will tell you get saved and everything's going to be all right. That's not the truth. In fact, if you make a stand for God, you better learn how to put on your full armor because it's coming. Amen? We got to Vietnam. I turned 19 in Vietnam and learned something. You shoot at them, they're going to shoot at you for no known reason. They didn't like that. And, of course, we were trained. Buddy, I tell you what, you start scrapping up all the training you was ever given, think, now my life depends on it. Right? God's given us all the equipment we need to win the war with Satan. If we're submitted to him. In fact, in another one of Paul's books, he gives us the full armor of God to wear. Ephesians 6, I believe it is. Right? It's listed there. Well, if you don't put it on, it might as well not be there. Buddy, in Vietnam, now I won't get into war stories, but that pot, steel pot, got mighty heavy. I've seen it 115 degrees and not one bit of breeze blowing. I mean, that hot. And I take that thing off and lay it down and think, nah, I better put it back on. It might do what they say it does. I don't want to take a chance, you know. So in other words, they issued me all this equipment, but I had to put it on. I had to submit, right, to my better thinking and do what I was told. Same thing here, spiritually speaking. Again, in Ephesians 6, you'll find Paul talking about the spiritual war that we're all involved with and gives us equipment to use if we're submitted to God's will. 2 Timothy, And again, we're running out of time, so you look at it later. I got it all written down for you if you want a copy of it. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, Paul says, I've run the course. I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. And when I look at Joe Hunter in the mirror, I ask him, can you say that? Can you really say that, that I have kept the faith? That's deeper than just a few words. That means good, bad, or ugly, no matter what comes or what goes, your will be done. Your will be done in my life. And again, we're blessed beyond measure. I think Ken and I, somebody was talking about how spoiled rotten we are in the United States. If God withdraws one of our little blessings, we get mad and quit. I mean, if we're not careful, we just get mad and quit. And I look at missionaries that are getting killed today for the cause of Christ. I knew a truck driver by name, who, by the way, was a homosexual that God delivered, not through us, but I know him, know the story. He takes Bibles into communist China right now. That's his, I'm going to call his name, but that's what he does. I've got pictures of him doing that. He sent us pictures of him doing that. I know that's where he's at. Somebody that the church, by the way, kicked out because they found out about his past. Now, don't get me wrong. He'd already got saved, already got delivered, was up for baptism in a great big church. I won't tell you who or where. Ken, you've been in church a long time. You know what I'm talking about. You're ready for the baptismal service. You're in the room there. You're fixing to go in the pool, you know, and all that. And he was telling me that I believe him because he had no reason to lie. The good deacon had known him for a little while, and he said, called his name, and he said, by the way, you know, tell me about your salvation experience. He said, well, I was homosexual, and God saved me. And he said when he told him that, he changed colors about 3 times. I'm sure if it hadn't been too embarrassing, he wouldn't have went in the water with him. But you see, this guy has said, Lord, your will be done. He said, not these words, but his life says, if you can use me, I'm here. He was an owner operator. God called him to go to China. He sold a truck. He said, let's go. In fact, I almost challenged him right there in our office one day, and I said, are you sure you heard God? He said, Joe, without a shadow of a doubt, I know what I'm supposed to do. I said, go for it. Go for it. Your will be done in my life. Knowing he could be killed over there, he could be in prison for life, we'd never hear his name again if they catch him, right? And I'm worried about a little bit of persecution as a Christian. Come on. You know, we got it made. We're spoiled. Old Paul said to Timothy, he said, I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. Now it's time to go home. Can we say that? Can we pray this prayer from our heart, something like, Heavenly Father, it doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what it costs me. Your will be done. And here in this friendly atmosphere, we could say, yes, amen, I'm with you. But when we're all alone, and I'm including myself, I said we, when we don't have the Christians around us, and how many of you, I know you can identify with this, you're in a truck stop and it seems like you're the only Christian in 500 miles. I mean, you're searching out trying to get fellowship with somebody and everything you say, there's 10 come against you. You walk inside and say something good about the Lord and it seems like the whole world caves in. I've been there. One time I'll never forget, I was so hungry for fellowship. Pulled into a truck stop, well, pulled in to eat, really, but I was so hungry for fellowship. And I was sitting in my truck, and about the time I stopped good, checked my paperwork, whatever, I saw in my mirror this other truck came in and parked beside me, had a big old lighted cross in the grill. I thought, thank you, Jesus, I'll have some fellowship. You know, kind of picked me up, been out on the road for a couple of weeks, you know, and that. And boy, he didn't get stopped good. I was over there standing by the door. He rolled the window down and he said, can I help you? And I said, yeah, are you born again Christian? He said, no. No. I said, what's the deal with a cross? And he looked at me and said, I like crosses. Duh. Okay. And I started to walk off and he said, why? I said, you got time for coffee? He said, that's what I'm here for. Come on, let's go. We sat down and ate, and I began to tell him about the cross he had in his grill and what the cost was surrounding that cross in his grill. And that guy sat there at that table, the truck stop just north of Indianapolis, I'll never forget it, and sat there and accepted Christ. I went there for fellowship, but it turned out it's supposed to be the other way around. I got fellowship, all right. Right? But we got to be submitted to God's will to say, your will be done. You know, let the company think that they actually got you the load going from here to there. The Bible says in Psalms that the footsteps of a good man are ordered or directed by the Lord. In other words, your trip you're on right now is not coincidental. It's not by happenstance. It's because God ordained it and put you there. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, you know, I had a schedule run at one time, and my every Tuesday log was just alike, every Wednesday log was just about alike. You know what I mean? I was on a run. I mean, I had it down pat. One run, I had a flat tire. Right in the middle of my trip, God had the audacity to let one of my tires go flat in Dallas, Texas, at the old Big Town Boulevard when T.A. was there. Remember that? Right there. On a Sunday morning, he had the audacity. I was already late because I was supposed to be home by then. Well, long story short, I had a chance to witness. I wouldn't even been in the truck stop hadn't had a flat tire. I said, wouldn't have been there. I stopped there to get a coffee and bumped the tires. That was the end of that story, right? Point is, you know, when I say first thing in the morning, Lord, your will be done, that covers all of that. I don't know that, but that's really what's happening, amen? Now, good place to start. Look at page 234 with me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I've been told that becoming born again is as easy as falling off a horse. It's easy. We try to make it complicated. I've heard some people say, living a Christian life is hard. Well, I don't know if I can agree with that. I'd almost say the opposite. Not living a Christian life is hard. Because of the turmoil going on inside the person. And everybody had been there. No peace, no rest. I gave my life to Christ. He taught me peace and joy. I mean, yes, we've had troubles and trials, but overall, the peace. The beginning spot, the beginning place, or even a place to restart, is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And it says simply this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what?
All unrighteousness.
Everything. Big sin, little sin. Well, there really isn't any difference, is there? Sin, sin. Right? Sin is sin. My former homosexual friend was no bigger sinner than I was. Amen? Sin is sin. But the good part is here in 1 John 1 and 9, he has promised us that all we have to do is confess. To Chaplain Joe? No. I don't have the authority to forgive you. He said if we confess our sins, what did he say? He who? Jesus. That's right. He will forgiven. Many times after I got saved, after I gave my life to Christ, this little voice come to me and tell me, nothing really happened. That was just an emotional high. You really just as rotten as you always been. I stopped. I kept my Bible in reach at all times. Not because I was religious, because I was holding on for dear life. And I have been known to stop, and I've always said if you put a recorder in the cab of my truck, I'd be in the funny farm right now. I'd take my Bible out and turn to this very scripture. It'd probably fall open to it. And I would read it just as loud as I could scream and say, Satan, perhaps you forgot what the Word of God says. It don't matter what I feel like. It don't matter. It says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me. I have done that. He has done that. So you get out. You get out. You can't ride with me anymore. And this didn't happen. And by the way, when you get saved, Satan don't say, oh, rats, and go home. No, no, no.
He works harder.
But I'll guarantee you this, if you will submit to God's will, you'll win. And here's the starting place. I want to close by praying a simple little prayer. I don't know everybody in here, don't know where you came from. Worse yet, I don't know where you're going. And I say worse yet because I'd like to say everybody's going to heaven, but I don't know that. That's up to you. I want everybody, though, to pray a little prayer with me in closing, out loud, heads up, eyes open. A little bit different. As I comically say sometimes, if you're driving down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. I may be coming the other way, you know. And don't get on your knees either, so I want you to be able to see me coming. But in all truth and sincerity, it don't matter where we are, we can pray anytime, any position, anywhere, because God's always listening. He's never out of signal. You don't drop His call. Amen? So I want to do this. There may be somebody in the room here today that's not sure they'll go to heaven. Maybe you've never asked the Lord to forgive you your sins. I don't know. My son's testimony was, I have repented many times. I just didn't follow up. In other words, get by what I am today and then drop it. We're not talking about apology because you get caught sinning. We're talking about a repentance where you say, no more. With God's help, no more. I'm not going to do that anymore. You know your life, I don't. I want to pray this prayer and I want to ask you to repeat it with me. Based on what the Word of God says, I can say with authority, He'll forgive you and set you free. Where you go from here is up to you. We got Bible correspondence courses available. You can grow in the Word. It's up to you. And I won't give that to you. You're going to have to call the office and get it. Put the ball in your court. It's free. Don't cost you a dime. But you have to use the incentive to call a toll-free number and get it. In fact, the office right there is where all that happens. But would you pray this prayer with me? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't need to pray it. Well, if you're saved, you're saved. But what if somebody around you in here needs to pray it? I don't want to embarrass anybody. Don't believe in that. Pray this with me, would you? Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins, come into my heart, and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Amen. Now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, blessings over the drivers. And you know all of our hearts, Lord, and I mean it every time I pray it, Lord. If there's sin in my life, as the psalmist wrote, Lord, search my heart, O God. Help me to be a better Christian next week than I was last week. Help me to be a more effective witness next week than I've ever been. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.